We are supposed to be between 2 and 3 feet of snow this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Well, make sure you do your Costco trip before you before the snow comes up.
We don't have Costco in Maine.
Well, no. All right.
Well, Amazon. Amazon.
Sorry, a little too late for Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm the type that I'll look outside and see what it's doing, and then I'll say, oh, okay, whatever.
But 2 to 3 feet, that's a lot of snow. Holy cow.
Well, it is. But I was like, you know, somebody's exaggerating or somebody's doing something, and usually we either don't get anything or we get above what they say. So
well,
I'm thinking anywhere from 6 inches to a foot is probably what we're going to get.
Okay. Well, if you more than that, you'll have to let us know.
I will. Oh, yeah, you'll see pictures on Facebook.
Oh,
yeah, I live near the coast by Bar Harbor, so I'm like 10 minutes away from the ocean. So if it sits in the Gulf of Maine and swirls, then I'll get more snow. But if it doesn't and the atmosphere changes a little bit, I'll get the mix of rain and sleet, which I hate. I'd rather have the snow. I'd rather shovel.
Well, good luck with that. My goodness. Well, everybody, we're right at our start time, so I wanted to welcome everybody to the call. My name is Seth Fritz, and I am one of the adult regional coordinators for Region 3, and that region essentially oversees Colorado, let's see, North and South Dakota, and Iowa and Wisconsin and Minnesota, and might be missing one or two, but that is me. And I'm actually joined by, I believe, all of my colleagues from the Adult Regional Coordinators today. So we have a quorum of our entire group. So I'm really excited, as this is our kind of our kickoff to 2019, to introduce Kim, who's our speaker tonight. We'll have Kim is going to give a presentation, and we'll have some question and answer, and then I'm hoping that we can facilitate some discussion after that and just really check in with everybody and see how everybody's doing and, kind of provide support for each other. And just as kind of a reminder, I would like to remind everybody that everything we talk about is confidential within this group, so please ask that, you know, anything that's shared within the group is kept within the group. So with that, I'd like to introduce Kim, who is our speaker. She is an adult who is 46 years old. She has TSC. She lives in Maine with her daughter, Megan, her husband, Tony, and her stepfather. She was diagnosed with tuberous sclerosis at the age of 31. Her daughter started to have seizures and was diagnosed with TSC as well. So with that, I'd like to introduce Kim.
Hi, everybody. Can everybody hear me? So I can speak louder if I need to.
Perfect.
As Jeff said, I live in Maine. Yes, we do have indoor plumbing. And yes, we do have electricity. People make, and we're not part of Canada. Just to start off with a little bit of joke. I was diagnosed at 31 years old. I didn't know I had it. Lived a relatively normal life. I went through school with no problems. I graduated high school, and I graduated college with a degree in elementary education. I worked. I didn't have any health problems that would even indicate that I had TSC. I did have the chagrin patch, which I didn't know what it was. Nobody knew what it was. They just said, oh, does it bother you? Okay, no problem. We'll leave it alone. And so, fast forward to when I was 30, when I had my daughter at 30 years old, and then about 6 months old, she started showing seizure activity. So we took her in and we saw this great pediatrician, and she actually had us both diagnosed with TSC on the first visit. And she's like, this is what I think you have. I'll order some tests, and we'll go from there. But this is what I think you guys have. And I said, oh. She goes, but don't look on the Internet because you're only going to see the worst-case scenario. So I didn't go on the Internet at first. So nowadays, 16 years later, the Internet's full of all kinds of information. You just have to read through it. I have either been through it, heard about it, saw it, or done it. So I also look at this journey that I've been on as either a learning or a teaching adventure, because there's always constantly new things. I have a unique perspective of TSC. I have to also advocate for my daughter, who is 16 now. She's been seizure-free for 6 years. I've never experienced any seizures. However, to add to my story, we found out my mother has TSC. She had seizures when she was younger. So technically, she is clinically diagnosed at 52, and she is still with us. And so there's three generations that I know of. I have a feeling it's come down my maternal grandmother's side. So we are on the rare end of having TSC. One-third, I don't know if anybody knows this, but one-third are inherited down the generational line, and two-thirds spontaneous. At least that's the information I have, and anybody can correct me. I'm not going to get offended. So I basically found out shortly after that they found a 6.3 vascular solid mass on my right kidney, and they suspected it was renal carcinoma. So in Maine, as I said, we're a little, you know, people think we're backwards, or they think we don't have any, you know, the modern amenities. But no doctor in my area would even touch me because they were like, we don't know enough about it. We're going to send you out of state. But, of course, my insurance would not send me out of state until I saw a doctor in state that exhausted all my, you know, all the things that they could do for me. So given that, I finally, after a year, I got my kidney removed. So I live with one kidney. My kidney function is normal. I just had all my tests done, and I see with my daughter, Dr. Teal, in Boston at the TSC clinic. And on January 4th, we are boring. We're boring cases because we're all stable. I'd rather it be boring than not, I guess. So through the journey, I've learned that you can't get caught up in all of what ifs, because there's so many what ifs with TSC. I've learned that, okay, this can happen, that can happen. You may not have this, you may have that. This could be, you know, I've met so many families now that I went to Texas this past summer. It was a very, very good trip. But along the lines of all the research, I find that anything can come up. I remember in 2011, we were in Dr. Teal's office, and she was telling me and my daughter about finding pancreatic cancer tie-in with TSC. And she said that she had reviewed all her patients that she had with TSC, and they had found 5 or 6 at the time in 2011 that had lesions or abnormalities or full-blown pancreatic cancer due to TSC. So my next question was, does my daughter, I had it, and my daughter ended up having a lesion on her pancreas, which was next to her spleen. So, as I said, I have a unique perspective on that. That's why scanning, monitoring, advocating, finding doctors you like, don't just go to a doctor just because it's a doctor. They're human. They don't know everything. That's how I do it. My daughter's had two pancreatic lesions removed, one in 2011 and one in 2015. Both were abnormal cancer cell lesions. Now, fast forward to this, I was worried, but nothing has come back for her. She's stable, I'm stable, we're good to go. We're boring, as Dr. Sheila says. So that, I only bring up the cancer part because I was on a call, I don't know when it was, I don't know. It must have been like, oh God, this past summer or something before somebody asked, well, what does cancer have to do with TSC? And I was kind of shocked because it was an adult conversation we had. This adult didn't realize that cancer was actually part of the TSC realm, something you can have. So I don't, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't be black and white about what can happen, but don't also sit there and, but woe is me, what's gonna happen? Is this gonna happen to me? And don't get so tied up to it because you have everything else to worry about. I mean, there's so many other things that go along with a TSC that people don't realize you have to go through, that you are going through. I also have a unique perspective that before I was diagnosed with TSC, before I had my daughter, a couple of years before I had my daughter, I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression and did not know why. All of a sudden it just, you know, something either triggered or something in my life, just, you know, everything just, I started having panic attacks. Things were just so overwhelming. Basically, I was my first marriage and, you know, we didn't have any kids or anything, so it wasn't like stress the kids. It was just, I couldn't function. Finding now that the TSC, I look back and say, okay, this is part of TSC. This mental illness that I am experiencing is part of TSC. But unlike many adults, you guys included, may experience after the diagnosis, because you sit there and you think about it and you get into that, oh, is me, I need, you know, everything's overwhelming, and they talk about the tan, where you have all these different aspects of mental illness, aggression, behaviors, et cetera. Well, so I live with that. I live with anxiety. I have insomnia. On a given night, I'm up 2 or 3 hours after going to bed. I do take medication. I do see a psychiatrist and a counselor. I'm not ashamed to say that. I have to because I have a daughter to take care of. And if I didn't take care of myself, who would? So other than that, does anybody have any questions for me or questions in general? I wrote down some stuff here. I think I've, I do have a couple of pet peeves, which I can share if somebody wants to know. But other than that, that's me. I'm an open book.
You're very brave. You're very brave, brave, brave.
Oh, right. Some days I don't think so. Some days I just like, oh my God, what's going on? But I have to, you know, I have to be kind of with it because I do have a daughter with it, and it's not just me. And I think that's my unique perspective, that I put her first, and then I me second, and then I had to learn that, hey, I have to take care of myself because who's going to take care of her? So it's a never-ending circle, and that's why, in my mind, I don't get caught up in the what if. Because I know in the back of my mind, hey, it can happen. But is it happening now? No. So do I worry about it now? No. You know? Until somebody says, okay, this is what you got, you know?
So Kim, this is something, and you really touched on, I think, a lot of really important points. And, you know, first of all, going back right away to your what if comment, is I think a lot of us experience that, right? I mean, you know, here you are with this kind of chronic disease or disorder, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, it manifests itself in so many different ways. And, you know, you always are kind of thinking, because it is such a dynamic disease, it changes all the time, right? So, you know, like you said, you know, first you experience this, and then you experience that. So you're always kind of questioning what's next. And, you know, I know for myself, you know, one of the questions I always ask, and probably a lot of us ask, is, you know, like, you know, I actually have fairly moderate symptoms myself. I mean, I've got the angiomyolipomas and, you know, some of the skin manifestations and brain tumors and such. But, you know, what if or when if will I ever have seizures or, you know, that type of thing? Or when will I have to have another partial nephrectomy or, you know, that type of thing? And you're right. I think that's something that, you know, we have to kind of just live our life, right? Because if we don't, we're going to get too caught up in the, you know, get stuck on this, you know, life is constant, like, what's going to happen next?
And I know, and it's very hard. I know it's hard not to think and get overwhelmed with that. And I think it's probably because of all the counseling. And I, as I said, I have an education degree. And I find myself researching a lot of things that, you know, I have that unique perspective. I belong on a lot of Facebook groups. I mean, because I am a parent, I'm a mom, I have TSC, and I have had discussions with people, and I've had private discussions with people, and I've helped people advocate to themselves and find resources because I want to help people. I want to make sure that they are on this crazy journey and that they're not alone because everybody is affected differently. We can just say that all the time, but it is so true. But I also look at it that if you don't go and do the things that you would normally do, that you can do, when, you know, your body may limit you doing, but, you know, if you love to ride roller coasters, like my daughter, she loves roller coasters. I like roller coasters. Well, if I had let her not ride roller coasters because I thought, hey, she could have a seizure on this roller coaster, then I wouldn't be living life. Because to me, if she's strapped into this thing that's going whatever miles per hour and she has a seizure on that, she's safer in that seat than she is in a stroller having a seizure, in my mind. She's never had one on a roller coaster, but, you know, that's how I look at it. It's like, I didn't have the perspective of when I was growing up, somebody say to me, oh, you have this disorder, so you can't go out and play like the regular kids because you may have a seizure. I've had teachers ask me if they should allow her outside on the playground, on the jungle gym, on the slide and the swing, because she could have a seizure. And I'm like, she could have a seizure sitting in class. It's not going to stop her. So let her be a child. And that's why I kind of put it out in my adult life. Yes, it can happen. I, at 46, I've never had any seizures, but who says I couldn't have one tomorrow? But I don't let that, I don't wake up every morning and say, I wonder if I'm going to have a seizure today. my first thing is, I wonder if I can move my knee, because I have arthritis in my knee, everything. You know, I wonder if, you know, if, you know, different things. It's not the first thing I tell myself, oh, I could have a seizure, you know, and I kind of put myself in a bubble. But I know how hard it is that and people do get overwhelmed, and it's part of the anxiety part. If you can get a counselor and you can get somebody that manages your anxiety level. Everybody has a different anxiety level. Everybody has a different take in how they deal with their lives. Everybody has different things in their lives. When I was first diagnosed with TSC, I lived with my daughter's father. We were not married. We were together 7 years. But I was in a very verbal, abusive relationship. And this kind of was the counseling I had for my depression, because I was diagnosed before I met him, before I had her, helped in a way, because I could kind of manage my anxiety level. I could kind of manage coping with that, and I did, and I was able to get out of that relationship. It was bad to the point where I tell my daughter, you don't ever have anybody say that to you. Don't ever have somebody put you down like that. I mean, right. I could deal with it because of, but it's, everybody has all these other things to deal with. Excuse me?
I don't have to deal with that. Hello?
No, and I did, and I think that's part of why I want to advocate for people. It's not just TSC. I have friends who have other chronic disorders, and, you know, I try to say, okay, this is what you can do. You have resources out there. You know, there's things that you can do. They just need to, in my aspect, another thing while I'm thinking about it, I wrote it down. If you do not ask, you're not going to know. Because out there, the resources, people aren't going to just tell you they're there.
Why is that?
You're going to have to ask.
Okay.
Yes,
I have a question. Why
What was the question?
My question is, why is that?
Why is that? Why do you have to ask?
You have to ask. I just, for people, it's so...
Well...
They don't want help, but you know, a lot of people aren't, you know?
Well, I'm talking about the agencies, the government agencies that... And, of course, yes, it does happen, and you lose your friends that are not your friends because they're like, oh, I can't deal because you're always doing this, or you never want to come out with me, and, you know, that type of thing. When the friend, you know, when your true friends are, you know, they say they're going to be there to help you and they don't. That's a whole nother gamut of this whole chronic illness thing. But to get resources to help you with transportation, help you with managing all your appointments, managing doctors, trying to find your specialist, there's a whole other world that is very hard to navigate. And I think that's probably why I know a lot about the navigation of that, because I've had to do it with my daughter. And then I take it to my extent, and I advocate for me and many other adults, because a lot of people don't know, if they're on Medicaid, you can get a caseworker assigned to you to help you manage your appointments, manage your transportation if you don't drive or can't drive, manage all this other stuff, this whole thing, that all the paperwork, all the stuff that needs to be done just to get an appointment to a specialist. And I know I've done it without a case manager forever because I've had to. But my daughter has had case managers that you know, I've had her have Kuessner's, but I've never had a Kuessner's for myself to navigate, because I've always been home, because I tried to work when we were first diagnosed, and when I was diagnosed with the kidney cancer and then her seizures and she had brain surgery, I just couldn't work anymore.
What kind of seizure medicine is she on? What seizure medicine is she on?
She's on Onfi.
Oh, I'm not sure that. But you don't take seizure medicine?
No, I
don't.
But I do take...
No.
I take Lamictal, which he was on at one time. I take it for a mood stabilizer. And I am on Effexor, and I have Trazodone for sleep, and Diazepam. But she has been on, I don't know how many countless medications, but I have a feeling that puberty in this Onfi medication is the key, because she hasn't had any seizures since 2012.
Wow.
So. But my mother had seizures from puberty till I was about 12. And she stopped having seizures. I don't know why. But back in the 50s, they basically said, oh, you have white spots on the brain, and this is why you have seizures, because your mom was in labor too long and you had lack of oxygen. Oh, that's not true. we know it's not true. But, you know, but, yeah. So I guess I have a different perspective. I mean, anybody can jump in, ask me questions, or, I mean, I want to share my story, but I also want to help people understand that there are so many different things that I've learned through 16 years. Now, it's 16 years sounds like a long time. But it has been like it feels like a second ago, because of how much, you know, I look at my daughter, I'm like, oh, where are you? You were a little girl just a minute ago, weren't you? You know? So, I don't know, I lost my place now. That TSC.
Well, your state of Maine is, I think they're much more helpful up there in the state of Maine. I don't know. I was diagnosed with PS in 1995, and I lived upstate New York. I was born in Long Island, but I had lived upstate New York. It was the hardest thing when I first got on the Medicaid with the tuberous sclerosis. Come on, on. And here I am. Here I am from 90. Yeah.
I think
you're right there by the Canadians. You know, they're more kinder up there.
Well, actually, the pediatric neurologist that we saw, actually, Megan was her last patient in the United States that she saw before she went back to Canada to
see my dad's Canadian.
Sclerosis. Yes.
Oh, Canada.
Yes.
Oh, Canada.
Well, I'm close to Canada, but, you know,
I grew up in
Vermont, and then we moved to Maine. But I had to, you know, I fired doctors, basically told them I wasn't going to, because they weren't, I mean, you have to advocate for yourself. And if you can't advocate for yourself, you have to find somebody that will. And I'm passionate about that, because I don't want people to say, oh, well, I can't, you know, this is too hard. Yes, it's very hard. But you can. There is a way of finding things. And, I mean, I've had people reach out to me and ask me questions, and I'll help anybody. If I can find an answer, I will find an answer. If it's out there and it can be done, I will find it. You can ask a lot of people.
It's okay. Very lucky to have you advocate. You know, your daughter's very lucky. My mother died 4 months before I was diagnosed with the tuberous sclerosis. I had the seizure problems in 77, but she had died four months later. I got diagnosed 4 months before, after she had died. So So I've been on this battle all by myself, and boy, what a journey that is. But you thought it was very lucky. Very, very lucky.
I do find that that's why I want to help people navigate through this journey. I can't do a lot of different things because I do get overwhelmed because of that, you know, that TSC part of that mental illness. I try to do what I can. I do get overwhelmed with a lot of the Facebook stuff because nothing is regulated, and it drives me crazy. Like, one thing that I can't stand is somebody saying that TSC is a carrier gene mutation. It is not a carrier. You either have it or you don't, and that's it. No more discussion. But people go around and around and around and around, and it drives me crazy. I've had to, in previous, I haven't done it lately, take myself out of every Facebook group I can because I can't stand the negativity and people.
But that's all I meant now.
Telling me that.
I don't want it to bother you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is.
You can't control
a couple of years ago.
You know.
Right. Well, they basically, you know, they come across and they're like, well, you know it all, and you're never positive, and I'm like, you just don't read it correctly. You know, and I try to, you know, be quiet about it, and I always have a link to why, you know, or my experience, and I think that has a lot to do with before Facebook, before Inspire, and I'll tell you, I refuse to go on Inspire. I was introduced back in 2002, 2003, to what they called, the TS Alliance called the Listserv. And this was, they were separated into two, it was like forums where you could go and ask questions. It's like a Facebook thing, but you posted your question or your experience, and it had a parent and it had an adult. And of course, I belonged to both of them. And I was the moderator for the adult. Now, in this case, it was monitored strictly to, you could not give medical advice. And if you were stating anything medical, you had to state, well, I'm not a doctor, this is my experience, or you had to back it up with a source of where you got the information. And if you didn't do that, and you were privately messaged, and or you were, you know, you're privately messaged, and if it escalated, it went to the TS Alliance person to take care of. Now, Facebook, somebody can sit there. What? Go ahead.
Kim, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I've got kind of a dual question here. First of all, my phone's only cut out one time, but unfortunately cut out. I don't know if you said your mother is deceased or if your mother's still alive.
My mother is still alive. She's 67 years old.
Okay, then that's part of my dual question here. It kind of actually, both of it goes around the anxiety, the TAN part, and I'd like to just ask you in your personal journey and your personal comments, with the anxiety part, you look at it this way. You have TSC yourself, even if on the milder end, other than the, you know, the anxiety that you spoke of. And then you've got a daughter that you are really busy with, you know, advocating, helping her with her needs. Also, I don't know how your mother is at her age now, but the first part of my question is how are you able to find yourself in three roles now, you know, as far as yourself, taking care of yourself, the anxiety even more so than the physical, with your daughter, and then the concerns. You know, a lot of people, as they get older, my mother's deceased, but a lot of people, as they get older, I hear them talking about the concern and the extra on them if you're healthy and you have a parent aging with health concerns, If you love a parent, it's more on you. If you already got extra on you, it's extra. That's the first part of my dual question. The second part is a lot of people that I talk to say that they're really, no matter how many times they've switched counselors or psychiatrists or whatever they, you know, went to, that they, you know, it's just kind of like they don't give them the exercises or the techniques or what to do. And I know we've got a lot of calls, you know, on anxiety and depression. But your personal experience, if you don't mind sharing, instead of just telling someone that just don't let that bother you, or, you know, you just don't tell somebody, don't worry about your cancer, what do you do?
What do I do? Well, I grew up in Vermont on a dairy farm, and you basically fended for yourself. You had to learn to be independent. I was taught growing up, you problem solve. This is before my anxiety. This is before I knew anything. I was a kid. The question about my mom, my mom lives in Vermont. She is independent. Her health is stable. She had her kidneys checked. She has minor spots. She has both kidneys. She hasn't had a seizure since I was 12, and I'm 46 now. She does have, and I have a feeling this is me, it's not because I have a physician's license, I don't. She does have some anxiety, and she has some depression, and I know that. But she is at the type of person at her age, even when we were diagnosed. I lived with it so long. I am fine now. I'm not going to worry about it unless something crops up. So I leave it alone with her. I do check in with her to make sure everything's okay. She checks in with me to see if, you know, Megan is fine and I'm fine. So at first, when we were first diagnosed, I kind of worried about, okay, what are they going to find with her? Because she is older. Well, when they found out that she has a mild case, she has the fibromas under her nails, she has a couple kidney lesions, she has the seizures. That's it. That's all she has. I have a chagrin patch. I have the fibroids under my nails. I have a forehead plaque, which I didn't know, and I have one angio on my nose. That's it. That's all I have. I have no Ashley spots. My daughter has no Ashley spots. She has no angios. She has some spots in her kidneys. She had the seizures, and that's it. So we are atypical mild, but to answer your question of how I deal with being my, you know, taking care of myself and taking care of my daughter and then worrying about my mom. I guess at first I was really overwhelmed. I had to think, as I said before, I put her first. I got her, all hers taken care of to the point where I couldn't do any more. You know, I'm letting the doctors, you know, okay, we're going to play with the medication. This is the next step. We have to go to Boston, which is 6 hours one way driving. Okay, we're going to do that. You know, I took one day at a time, one moment at a time. And I guess I categorized it. And you know, I had other things going on too. And I think what had happened, because I told you about the verbal abuse and everything, I think getting away from the verbal abuse, I threw myself into advocating, finding out as much as I could, and taking care of my daughter and myself. And I think that's helped. It helped me because I focused on that, and I focused on the positive of TSD, because there is positive about it. And how I look at it positive, if I did not have my daughter, I had her later in life, I had her at 30. If she did not have seizures, I would not be talking to you guys right now. They caught the cancer quickly. It hadn't spread. I had no symptoms. Did not know I was even having problems. I had quite high blood pressure, which I'm overweight. I don't know how many have met me. You know, you've seen pictures or whatever. I am overweight. And, you know, my mother's had, she had a heart attack in 2007. You know, we had a heart problem in my family. So I figured, okay, the blood pressure, you know, I'm borderline. I'm not, you know, overly, you know, and I'm overweight. So, you know, it kind of goes one with the other. So nobody even thought to look in the kidneys. I had no reason to look in my kidneys. So the positive I take from the TSC, and it is, it's kind of weird to say it this way, but I don't wish seizures on anybody. I don't wish this disease or this disorder on anybody. We're all here because of TSC. I wish we all met on a different reason, but we are here. We're together. We support each other. But the positive I take from it is my guardian angel is my daughter. So I had to give her my full attention and keeping myself as even keel as I could. And I think having that extra, now that I look back on it and having you ask that question, which is a good question, having that negativity in my life, I focused on the TSC and what positive things I could do to make my daughter's life better and to make sure that I was okay. I have planners. They gave them mom's planners, and they had all these stickers, and they had the calendars, and I have them going back to, like, 2004. And I found them the other day, and I looked through them, and I'm like, oh, my God, OT this time, PT here, IEP here, here's a number for DHHS, here's a number for Medicaid, you know, and it's all written out, and I'm like, oh, my God, how the hell did I do this? You know, I just look at it and go, but I found that outlet to get away from the verbal abuse. Now, not everybody, I don't want everybody to go out and find somebody that is going to abuse them and then focus on TSC. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I think that's how I was able to do it. And once I learned and I got into a relationship with my present husband now, and yes, he drives me crazy, but he'll tell everybody the same thing. But he took both me and Megan as we were. I told him, I said, we have health problems. She has seizures. This is the first date. I said, if you can't take this, you wear a package deal. We have health problems. You can walk right out that door because there's no need for you. You know?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's really special that you got to that point of that thing on. But, you know, just you talking about distractions, and TSC offers many distractions from many levels, many different planes. I find that the distraction is a blessing in the form that I never knew I had tuberous sclerosis since age 12. I always thought I was weird, something was crazy, I was being misjudged, misdiagnosed, made fun of. But when my son was born and he was diagnosed and I got my diagnosis, it was the best lesson that I could ever have. A lot of people have stood up and disagreed with that because, well, how can something so horrible be a blessing? But the horribleness was not known. And now when you know that you have tuberous sclerosis, you know, you have something that you can play with, something that you can build on, something that you can remain positive. And I'm just wondering if anybody else has been in that boat, too, because it seems like there's been a few of us, if not a lot more, who was diagnosed later on in life.
I know a few different families. I know one mom, and as Dr. Keel, our doctor, says, HIPAA is thrown out the window sometimes when it comes to people that go to her clinic. I'm not going to name names, but I know of one mom who found out she had TSC with her daughter, having seizures, and she had actually a partial nephrectomy because of renal carcinoma. They found it when they died.
Well,
so similar story as mine.
Yeah, Dr. Q is an angel to everyone who's ever had the opportunity to walk through her office as it is. She's a friend to all of us who have TS, and again, who have had the opportunity to attend one of the conferences or sit down with us. One-to-one, or like I said, a conference. I'm really just very appreciative of the support that these calls make, the Alliance makes them available because of the positivity that it can bring around and say, hey, wow, you know, someone else is going through what I've walked through. You know, someone else has been there. And I think in the last 15 to 17 years, it's been a wonderful, wonderful to watch the growth that has come about, especially with the support of the Alliance, really giving the adult population. I remember, I know that Kathy can speak to this too, and another young lady who is now with us, but, you know, we watched this birth from zero, basically nothing, to a lot of something like this call. And, you know, the many different networking possibilities that have been birthed from this is so amazing. And my colleagues on here who are doing the hard work in their own areas, I don't know. I'm curious to know if someone out there who's with us, have you been in touch with your regional coordinator, and how has it been for you?
Oh, I know my regional coordinator. I met him in Dallas this past summer, and he was the one that wanted me to have this call and got me in touch with Dina, and I can say that my story will also be in the perspective for the winter perspective issue. I in the last few years, I've actually been able to come out and be more of an advocate. My daughter's stable. I don't have to go to school every day and pick her up because she has a seizure, that type thing. I'm more able to free up my time for others, for the TSCs, and I've been able to do more traveling for it, meaning I went to Dallas for the conference. I also took part in the study in San Francisco that they're doing about the frontal lobe dementia with TSC patients. I'm not sure if anybody has heard about it. I know my regional coordinator has done it. I went through it in October. I have a couple of the friends who've gone through it, and they're adults, and it is worthwhile to go. And yes, it's intensive neuropsych evaluation of 2 days. There's a couple of medical tests, but overall, to get to advocate and to help with research, that's what I look at. I also have participated with my daughter in the study in Arizona, where basically they take blood and it's a blind study. They don't attach the offspring to them. It's just the mom. You just have a number, and they just look at the blood and whatever. So in the last few years, I've actually stepped out and said, okay, what can I do from home to help others? Now, I write my story, and I've written my story ever since I was diagnosed, and sent it along to whoever was the chairperson, whoever was going to march on the hill. And I've sent it to everybody that ever asked me for my story to take to Washington, D.C. And that story has changed over the years, but I have taken it and written it, and I've tweaked it. And this past year, I actually got a personal letter, not just a form letter, a personal letter from one of my senators in Maine, And I think probably she got sick and tired of me writing to her about other things, as well as TSC, because she took the time to write me actually a personal letter, not a form letter. But that was something that I took to heart, because she had seen the story for years. She has heard the story, and if I kept saying, okay, this is the story. This is the person. And when it had to do with health care, and she was the one that needed to vote on it and this and that, she heard from me. She heard from me from education and in the special needs part, and I think she connected the dots between, okay, this woman is writing to me about all these other things, but she's also sending the same story to Washington for research for this disorder, and I need to back her.
Yeah, that's something, exactly. That's something that every one of us can and should be doing, is writing letters, advocate. You know, one of the things that's coming up in the next couple of weeks, actually, is that a delegation of us will be going to Washington, D.C. to meet with our elected officials to advocate for the TSC research program. And so as many letters as we can get to take you to those elected officials, the better, because what happens is they see that their constituents have need, and that will really help. And I'm really happy to hear that you brought that up, because the more of you that write those letters, the more we can really help to, you know, share our story with the world and share our story for research purposes. And that's a great thing. As I know, you know, a lot of us have actually, you know, written letters or carried letters to the Hill. Has anyone else on the call, have you guys had a chance to write letters, or, you know, are you interested in writing letters and would like to kind of find out more information on how to do that?
Possibility. I'm new to the whole world of this. This is all new to me. I've just been a group member for like 8 months maybe on a Facebook page, and I just saw this, and I just decided to jump in. But letters sound good.
Welcome. That's great. Well, welcome to the group. We do have these calls once a month, and, you know, really encourage everyone to get involved, because, you know, as much as we can share our stories with each other and the world, it really, really helps. And, you know, it's I know that the TS Alliance will be sending out notices of our next call, and I don't have the date with me right now, but I'm sure I'll probably get notice of that shortly. But
it's February 21st. February 21st.
Wonderful.
I have the postcard.
Wonderful.
And I
well, as much as
and
you,
it's
you know,
another TS. It's another TSC journey from. Let me see. I don't have my glasses on. Damon Torian. Torian is the presenter. At least that's
okay.
What my postcard says. So that's the 21st of February is the next one.
Wonderful. It'll be at the same time, Joe, if we can get people on that call. But
mm-hmm.
In the meantime, for those that are interested, going back to writing something to your elected official, if you're interested, feel free to reach out to us. We can provide templates of what that looks like and all that. And we really want to encourage that as much as possible. So please keep that in mind. Wonderful. And I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to encourage if anyone's got something on their mind that they want to say. And Kim, I apologize. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to make sure that.
No. I'm telling you, it's my TS. I ramble. And I do blame it on TSC now that I know I haven't. So that it's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Excuse my humor and my sarcasm. I'm a Yankee. I'm from the North. I get rambling on, and it's one of my downfalls. But
well, no worries. We appreciate all the great insight. And, you know, is there anyone else on the call that would like to kind of, again, we only have about 5 minutes left, but I want to make sure that, you know, people have something on their mind, you can share it.
Well, I'm Shani. I live here in Miami. I would like to know if there's any support groups in Florida.
Jeff,
she just said, she's from Miami, and she wanted to know if there's a support group in Florida for adults.
Not that I'm aware of, but we can look into that.
I would reach out to your regional coordinator. I'm not sure who has Florida.
Jenny, that is me, Mark Martin. You can get a hold of me through the Alliance or on my Facebook page. Just look me up and be glad to assist you in however I can. We'll get you in touch with someone down there.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Good.
That's awesome. Good.
Yes. Yeah. Are there others, again, you know, that have some things on their mind that they want to share? Or, and just a backdrop, too, is that there are about 7 of us that are on the call right now that are adult regional coordinators. So for those of you that maybe feel disconnected, you know that we have support for you, and there's a bunch of us out here. We cover all 50 states. We want to make sure you know you have support. And so, you know, if you're looking for that, please, if we need to, feel free to reach out to the TS Alliance. They'll put you in contact with us directly, because we want to make sure that you know that you have people out here that, you know, that sharing the story, that there's resources, that there's things that we can do to help you.
And don't be afraid to email your regional coordinator. They love to hear from you, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. If you go to the website, tsalliance.org, there's a whole adult page with a tremendous amount of resources, and that's where you can find who your adult regional coordinator is. There's a link, and it shows you the whole United States. And also, if you click on a state, it will tell you other resources, who the WAC person is, who Community Alliance members, Connect members, who you can just even reach out. They're volunteering their time to just reach out to anybody and talk to anybody that may be. But the first support resource should be Adult Regional Coordinator, and they're willing to help anybody who can.
I think
we love to hear from you. I'd like to add that please, if you call, don't be afraid to leave a message. I don't know about others, but I get so many spams and scams that I don't answer a number I don't recognize. And, you know, you might get a few hang-ups, but you don't know the difference. And I did get an email. The very first time I got an email within that day, I got right back with the gentleman, got his phone number, called him back, and he did tell me that he had tried to reach me a couple times, but he didn't talk. We don't know who you are, you know, if you don't talk. So share, please. If you call, leave a message so we know it's, you know, TS-related and not a spam call, so we can call you back.
Kathy, can I just call you because I want to?
Of course.
Yes, As long as you're not spamming me or wanting medical for your money, you got it.
I missed your accent. That's all I had to.
I'm sorry. The good old twang.
We all call Kathy from time to time just to get a little of that southern love.
I need that accent.
It's a little better when it's not hoarse.
Oh, you're fine.
Well, wonderful. Well, everybody, I know we're up on our kind of our time limit. I do, as a follow-up, though, I do want to encourage, again, that please feel free to reach out to us. That information is posted on the tsalliance.org website. Reach out to us. Connect with us. We want to help you as much as we can. And, you know, there's resources. You're not alone. And, you know, keep in mind that we do have these monthly calls. And we want people to share. I know, you know, we have a different topic each month. You know, sometimes we'll talk about medical updates. Sometimes we'll, you know, share stories, personal stories like what we did tonight. But the conversation's always different. But, you know, the nice thing about it is that we're here together, and it provides that sounding board for us to be able to share. And so,
thank you.
Unless any of our... Does anyone have any kind of final comments, or?
I just feel, hi, my name's Joe. I have a real mild case, and I felt sometimes so guilty that I do have a mild case. There's so many people who have it so severe, and just like my problems are, like, minuscule, everyone else's, you know?
No, you know. No.
I have it.
No.
I know, Scott, I know. Yeah, I know, but...
I know where you're coming from, because I basically, and my daughter and I have what they call a mild case as well.
Yeah.
On paper, it's totally different if you just look at it on paper. But to look at her and look at me, you would not know there was anything wrong. That's how mild it is. You would not know. And...
I had to diagnose myself when I was 19. No one in my family helped me. None of my doctors knew what it was. Lucky for me, I went to a dermatologist that knew what kind of disease I had. I was told I had 11 tumors on my brain, and they never developed because I pray every day. They end up on my kidneys. Now I have, kidney problems because of it. Well, maybe because of it, you know what I mean? I don't know, regular doctors are totally different. But I had to endure with the angiofibromas on my face my whole life, and that destroyed my self-confidence, you know? But otherwise,
I know what you're talking about with the facial, because I don't have that. But I'm a big woman. Not big, but... I'm a big woman, so, you know, my self-confidence is, you know, gone. So I can relate then, but now that I have a daughter to advocate for, I stand up to everybody. I just can't. I don't let it go. and I understand when you say you feel guilty because you have a mild case. Don't feel guilty. Reach out. You can even reach out to me. I'm on Facebook. I'm an open book. I'll share whatever I can. I'll help wherever I can, if I can. I'm not a regional coordinator, but I can help.
I don't belong to any group or organization. I belong to a Facebook group, and I saw it if it gets posted. But so let me get in. You know?
Contact me personally off my page.
We've got to end this at this point in time. We really appreciate your call. Get a hold of us. This is Mark from Tennessee. If any one of us. Okay. We thank you, Tim, for your time tonight. And my name is Mark. Until we meet the next time around on February 21st, we look forward to talking with you again. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great rest of the night.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, everyone out there. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.